Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for a few moments in your word. We ask you, Lord, to continue the good work. We thank you that you're continuing the good work you began in us, Lord. We know that you're willing, you're doing and willing your good pleasure in our lives. As your word says, Lord, you're perfecting that which concerns our lives and working in us to bring about your image, Lord Jesus. And we ask for a heart of flesh, that you would take away the heart of stone that's been formed by being in this world and our own disobedience, our own sin before you, Lord. Remove, the stony places and give us a heart of flesh in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read Hebrews 13, beginning in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Now, for it to continue, it has to be present. And there are few things as important to the born-again believer than to walk in the love of God. And God is love. We should be reminded as a word of encouragement. I've personally begun to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we call the love chapter, every morning as part of the several chapters in the Bible that I read. I always read 1 Corinthians 13, and it recalibrates or reminds me of the importance, the cardinal importance of walking in the love of God and the aspects of the love of God. The fruit of that love in our lives are spelled out in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're also told that without love, we're nothing, right? All right, let brotherly love continue. In fact, in another place, the Bible says that we're to increase yet more and more in the love of God. More and more in the love of God. So this is one of the things I pray for the people I lift up every day, that we would grow in the grace, the love, and the wisdom of God. 1 Thessalonians 4:10, but we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. And what he's talking about, as he says more and more, is that we grow, verse 9, in the love of God. And so that should be a matter of not trying to work that out so much as beginning in prayer, so that it's coming from our hearts and we're not trying to do something God said to do in the flesh. We live by faith and not by sight. And many times in our Christian walk, as we're learning, we try to bring to pass things that God says in His Word, but we're not praying those things into our hearts, if you will. We're not praying that God puts them in our hearts. So let brotherly love continue. Let brotherly love continue. We've got a podcast. If you look up the word cardinal on safeguardyoursoul.com, and the title of the podcast is The Cardinal Characteristics of Knowing God. The Cardinal Characteristics of Knowing God. And knowing God is to know that God is holy and God is love. Amen. So let brotherly love continue. One writer notes to feel for, to love one another is to be all of one heart and one soul, to feel for, to comfort, to support each other, and to remember that he who professes to love God should love his brother also. They had this brotherly love among them, as Paul is writing. They had that brotherly love among them. In fact, we're reminded of 1 Corinthians 12, where the Bible speaks of when one suffers, we suffer with them. We condescend to men of low estate, right? And when one rejoices, we rejoice with them. There are three particular body of Christ chapters I want to call your attention to, and that's going to be Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. Okay, God is fully intent on us loving Him and loving our neighbor and walking in His love. In fact, we see that we are instructed to walk in love in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, has loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Okay, so the writer says concerning let brotherly love continue, he says they had this brotherly love among them, that is the saints he was writing to. They should take care to retain it. Don't let it get away. pray that it increases. Amen. Without love, we are nothing. We prove to be those who are not of God. As God is remarkable for his love, his giving, his philanthropy, or love to mankind, so should they be that know him. They should love one another, he says. And we prove to be the children of God by the love of God working in us. Now, sometimes we got to remember, sometimes open rebuke is better than secret love. So we're not talking about a flowery love that ignores the truth. No, we walk in the truth. We're speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. And remember, saints, Jesus is the truth and Jesus Christ is love. And sometimes that love is going to be manifested as a rebuke. So 1 John chapter 4, if you want to turn there, sister. Let me say this before we continue. Remember, saints, we can know all the mysteries of the universe, right? And die outside of the love of God and bust hell wide open. There's so many people running around trying to figure out how the... Who built the pyramids? And all of these mysteries, even of the Bible, that aren't essential to figure out. I'm not saying that's all bad, but if we don't have our feet on the ground and we're not grounded in Christ, which would mean we're grounded in the love of God and in sound doctrine, we're going to die and go to hell. Recently, I wrote something about a one-line statement, I believe it was, about it's not so important to know when Jesus is going to come. It's ultra and absolutely eternally important that you're ready when Jesus comes. Amen. And that's another thing people search out. When is he coming? Oh, every September you got these bumbling idiots who go after these false prophets from Africa or wherever, promising that this is the year in September Jesus is coming. And here are the absolutely irrefutable 73 reasons why we know Jesus is coming. This September such and such. And year after year after year, they're hoodwinked. And what they're doing is they're watching with hostility, which Jesus said not to do in the book of Luke. The kingdom of God, he said, cometh not with observation, right? Observation. Hostile watching is what he's talking about. Luke 17:20, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation or hostile watching. And that's what they're doing. And why would they be doing that other than they're not really grounded in Christ and enjoying walking with him through thick or thin daily, being knit together in his love, Colossians 2. So they've got to try to figure out when he's coming so they can hurry up and get ready. Something's not right there. So Sister Terry says, look at the signs of the times. We see those very things that Jesus prophesied, Luke 21, Matthew 24, coming to pass before our eyes. Now, I wonder what would happen if those people truly repented and got right with this God they are anticipating coming, if they would spend their time edifying the body of Christ, loving the brothers and sisters and evangelizing. I wonder what would happen if they would spend their time obeying the Lord, being about the Father's business, instead of trying to worry about and figure out things that are in God's hands, not our hands. Yeah, and let me say this on that note. That's a good point. Anybody who's not participating in the Great Commission is not abiding in Christ, is not in the will of God. They're out of the will of God, and they're not ready. Yeah, they're doing their own thing, and they're not ready for the return of Christ. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 9, verse 62. Now notice, speaking of the love of God, verse 7, 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another. You know that 12 or actually 13 times the Bible commands us to love one another. I want you to remember that and perhaps look up, do a search for love one another, and you'll find in the King James Bible it appears 13 times. And we have a post on that. 13 times, love one another. So important. We are to love one another. 13 times the podcast, a post on Safeguard Your Soul, is called 13 Times the Bible Commands Us to Love One Another. 13 times we are commanded. The Bible says God is love and God is holy. those sound like intrinsic parts of components of God's divine nature. They don't just sound like attributes, although I'm sure they are. Those sound like intrinsic parts of his divine nature. So we're talking about loving one another. 13 times the Bible says love one another. Beloved, let us love one another, 1 John 4:7. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Notice the cardinal fruit of the love of God. Anybody who knows God, is born of God, that is, and knoweth God, is walking in the love of God. Let me read it again, 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. They prove to have the fruit, the cardinal fruit, the tangible fruit of knowing God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Now I want you to memorize that. He that loveth not knoweth not God. 1 John 4:8. Yes, 1 John 4:8. In this was manifested the love of God. Okay, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. This is how God manifested his love toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. There it is again. Remember, 13 times the Bible says to love one another. Verse 12, 1 John 4, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So again, we see the ability for that love to continue to grow in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Remember, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And again, he just said that that's exactly how we know how much God loves us. That's how his love was manifested to us. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Amen. Are we confessing Jesus Christ before others? Jesus said, any man who does not confess me before men, I'm not going to confess him, and I am going to reject him, right? One of those places is Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. Luke 12, 8 and 9 says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me, or does not confess me before men, shall be denied before the angels of God. Anyone who knows the Lord is talking about the name of Jesus and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we have all of these fake sacred names. Yahushua, Yahushua, all of this foolishness, Yahweh. The name of Jesus Christ is the only name by which we can be saved. Acts 4:12, the name of Jesus Christ is the name to which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. Not Yahweh, not Yahushua, any of this other foolishness. Now, all of that stuff is a bunch of work of the devil among people who aren't even saved, and they're trying to feel special, like they found this secret esoteric name of God. Instead of just abiding in what the King James Bible says, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of this is the work of Satan to keep people from the only name and person whereby one may be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. I'm going to stand on the name of Jesus Christ all the way into eternal glory by the grace of God. Yah. It is said that Yah is actually an Egyptian moon god. That's the first three letters of Yahweh. I don't see Yahweh anywhere in the King James Bible. We see Jehovah four times, and we see the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, and Christ hundreds of times. But we have the King James Bible in the English language translated for us and preserved fully. Now, that's another rabbit trail people get on. They go to some fake seminary, all of them are fake, and they start to act like, because they delved into the definitions and studied a little bit of Hebrew and Greek, that you can't understand the Word of God without knowing Hebrew or Greek, which is completely false. We have absolutely debunked that. These are the same people that are defending the fake Bibles, obviously fake Bibles. And all you got to do is ask them, do you speak and write in Hebrew and Greek? The conversation is over and their cover is blown. So we've got some stuff on that. Just look at the search out originals on safeguardyoursoul.com. We've got a lot written on that that exposes that whole deception. That's just creating another Catholic system where you got to go to them to find out about God, because you don't qualify to read God's word in your own language and know God. That's what they're saying. So they set themselves up like Catholic priests. That's the definition of a false prophet, where he makes himself part of the equation of salvation. Yeah, and we know the Bible says we're to uphold the head, even Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, and beware lest any man spoil you through tradition and vain deceit. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, for you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 2, verse 8 through 10. Amen. Verse 16, 1 John 4, as we come in for a landing here, and it says, and we have known and believed the love that God had to us. Notice that. So he just told you that he manifested his love by sending his only begotten son into the world to die for us so that we could be reconciled to him. And then here he says, we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God hath to us. Do we know from the scriptures, and do we believe that God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, the ultimate perfect sacrifice once and forever? It is finished sacrifice. It is paid in full. Do we actually believe that? In any of these things we're talking about, saints, I want to encourage you to take them to prayer and the Word of God. Again, I'm going to say it again, because maybe somebody out there is like I have been and still sometimes can tend to be, where I see something in the Word and now I've got to do. Well, no, hold on. Don't go try to do it. Don't try to manufacture it in you as a fruit. Just ask God to give it to you as you repent afresh, if that's needed, and you abide in Christ, crying out, God, help me love you more. I want to know you, and I want you to be able to say, you know me. Help me, Lord, help me. Let me be dead, buried, and raised up with your power and your love to love your people. Bring these things to pass in my life for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we have known and believed the love. We've got to know it and believe it, the love that God had to us. God is love. So twice in the Bible, it says God is love. Verse 8 and verse 16 of this chapter, 1 John 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I'm not going to try to talk about that. It says self-evidently exactly what it is. God is love. And he that dwells in love dwells in God. There's no way to dwell in love unless you're dwelling in the one who is love. And that's relationship, oneness with him, and God in him. It's clearly proven that the remnant of Christ are those who dwell in the love of God. That shows that God dwells in them, because only God is love. We're not love. He's love. And as we're born again and we abide obediently and worshipfully in Christ, his love is going to be manifested in our lives. And you can read more of the characteristics of his love, as we mentioned earlier, in 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 17, 1 John 4, says, herein is our love made perfect. And that would refer to being matured in us. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, he's love, so are we in this world. So he's saying you can know that you're ready to meet him if you're dwelling in love, because you can only be dwelling in the love of God by dwelling in God himself. And then, therefore, you may have, right, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's what we talked about earlier. You got people running around trying to figure out when Jesus is coming and looking for some false pre-tribulation rapture, and they're not secure. They don't have boldness to meet him because they're actually not ready to meet him. They're looking for him with hostile observation. Luke 17:20. They're not grounded in Christ. And that's how we have boldness in light of the soon return of Christ, is walking in love. That's what he's saying right here. As he is, he's love. He just said he's love in the verse before. So are we in this world. So if you are in Christ, you're walking in the love of God. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. You don't have any fear. Why? Because you're grounded in Christ, so that your hand is on the plow of doing the Father's business, which is the Great Commission. You're too busy doing his business, the Great Commission of edifying and feeding the flock and evangelizing. You don't have time. You're just saying, dear Lord, please give us a little bit more time. You're probably praying so that we can win more souls to you. And now compare that to the people, the counterfeits who just want to get out of here. In other words, they just want to escape the trouble, but they don't even know Jesus. They're not even obeying him. They're not engaged in the gospel work and prove to be thereby counterfeits, who want to simply use Jesus for their own self-serving preservation and agenda. They're not interested in loving, knowing, and suffering for his sake as they obey him. And Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21. We know the few true disciples around us today by those who are rooted and grounded in Christ and diligently obeying his word, doing the great commission that he gave us to accomplish and execute. That would be more the heart of a true disciple, instead of hurry up and get me out of here. I don't like this. I don't want to suffer. I'm an American. And though millions have died for Christ around the world, I'm special, right? That's their attitude. I'm special. I don't have to suffer. I'm going to be pre-tribulationally raptured out of here. You see the falsity of this thing? When the Bible promises that we're going to suffer, promises, we're not only to believe on him, but we're also to suffer for his sake, right? Colossians, is it 1:28-29? Okay, so there is no fear in love. If you're walking in fear, it's because you're lacking the love of God. You're lacking that love from God that comes through oneness, through abiding with him. John 17, Jesus prayed that we would be one, even as he and the Father are one. And that would be one in him and with him and the Father and the body of Christ. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. So when we're walking in love, we're walking with the Lord, therefore we're walking in his love, it's permeating, filling us, and it removes, it vanquishes all fear, because fear hath torment, he says now. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, as we close, verse 19 through 21, 1 John 4. We love him because he first loved us. We should understand by this statement that we did not find God. God found us. Amen. We can't find God. Jesus said, no man can come to the Father except he's drawn by the Lord, right? John 6:44. We love him because he first loved us. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Anybody, in other words, confessing to be a Christian, knowing God, and doesn't walk in the love of God, but has hate in his heart for anyone, he is a liar. He does not know the Lord. He is not known of the Lord. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? That's self-evidently true. We cannot
claim to love God and hate our brother. Verse 21, and this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Though there's no such thing, and 1 John 4 makes that abundantly clear, there's no such thing as a child of God who's not walking in the love of God. So if you're not walking in the love of God, you are not a child of God, and it's time to get before the Lord in repentance, to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, as Jesus commanded. That's the first and most important thing in our lives today before we pray, is that we love God, that Jesus Christ is the first love of our lives. And as his love fills us through our communion with him, it's going to manifest in us loving those around us. That's 1 Corinthians 8:3. If any man love God, the same is known of him. It's one thing to say, I know the Lord. It's another thing whether or not the Lord knows us. Notice, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. It's one thing to say, well, I go to church. Well, that's not what's important. What's important is, are we known of God? That comes by way of his conditions, his definition of knowing him. And so it's important to cry out to the Lord, Lord, I want to be known of you. Amen. Father, we ask you that we would be known of thee, O God, not by our own deceptive, deceitful righteousness or definition, but that you would know us. You would be able to say, that is my child. We want to be known of thee, O God, and we want your love, because you are our love, to permeate our lives. We know that your love in us is going to suffer long. It's going to be kind. It's not going to envy. It's not going to lift up or vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Your love in us, through this relationship you've given us with you through Christ, with your indwelling Holy Spirit, is going to bear all things, believe all things until proven guilty, hope all things, endure all things. And we know your love is never going to fail. We love you and thank you and ask you these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.